Tonight, inside the unprecedented FBI search at former President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago home. The new details coming in after the FBI executed a search warrant at Mr. Trump's Florida resort. The former president saying agents even cracked his safe. The documents they may have been looking for. Outside Mar-a-Lago, Trump supporters gathering. The GOP condemning the search, accusing the Biden administration of weaponizing the Justice Department. Plus, how could it impact a possible Trump run for president in 2024? Also tonight, the major break in the investigation into the killings of multiple Muslim men in New Mexico. The primary suspect now under arrest. The growing nuclear fears in Ukraine after Europe's largest plant is attacked. Our team on the ground in that city. Plus, our NBC News exclusive tonight, the first cameras ever allowed inside U.S. Space Command. What Russia just did in orbit that has the U.S. now on alert. Snapchat rolling out its first ever parental controls. What it allows parents to see if their children consent.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
And good evening. I'm Tom Yamas, in for Lester. Tonight, we are getting new information on that hours-long search of former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence in Florida. With heightened security tonight, you see it right here, flanking the compound. NBC News reporting the search was tied to classified material Trump allegedly took from the White House when he left in 2021. The former president claiming in a statement that the FBI broke into his safe, calling the search, quote, unannounced. Republicans raising questions tonight about the timing, pointing the finger at Attorney General Merrick Garland for executing the search with less than 100 days until the November midterms and fueling talk of Trump's potential bid for president in 2024. We have team coverage tonight, and our Kelly O'Donnell starts us off from Bedminster, New Jersey, where the former president is meeting behind closed doors tonight.
Today, spectacle outside Mar-a-Lago.
We're here supporting our president.
After the unprecedented inside, the home of a former president searched. FBI agents spent the majority of the day Monday executing a warrant approved by a federal judge. The FBI's access to the Trump residence and private office was coordinated with the Secret Service, according to an official who says the former president's protective detail validated the warrant and was present during the search. At least one Trump attorney was there, too. Today, that warrant is sealed, so details about what was taken from the Trump family quarters inside the private club remain secret for now.
What we don't have right now is the affidavit to the search warrant. We don't know what they asked for, and we don't know why they asked for it.
Multiple sources say the investigation is connected to classified documents. Son Eric Trump.
The purpose of the raid, from what they said, was because the National Archives wanted to, you know, corroborate whether or not Donald Trump had any documents in his possession.
The former president announced the search himself in a lengthy statement, attempting to set his own narrative. The weaponization of the justice system, he wrote, then made a reference to what happened, speaking by phone for a campaign event last night.
Another day in paradise. This was a strange day.
And this morning, he posted a campaign-style video.
But soon we will have greatness again.
And is now using the FBI search as a fundraising tool.
Look, we pursue justice without fear or favor. We intend to hold everyone, anyone, who was criminally responsible for the events surrounding January 6th, for any attempt to interfere with the lawful transfer of power from one administration to another, accountable. That's what we do.
Today at the White House, President Biden declined to react to the search of his predecessor's home. And the press secretary deferred a flurry of questions to the Department of Justice.
We're just not going to comment on any ongoing investigations from here. We're just not going to comment on the Department of Justice investigation.
Okay. All right, Kelly O'Donnell joins us now from Bedminster, where the former president is staying. And Kelly, I know you have some new reporting tonight on what the Justice Department and the FBI were looking for.
Well, Tom, an attorney for former President Trump confirms to NBC News that the agents removed about a dozen boxes from a basement storage area. And those agents provided a warrant that indicated that they were looking for evidence of possible violations of the handling of classified materials and the Presidential Records Act, and that lawyers for former President Trump and the government had been in discussion since spring. And tonight here in Bedminster at his golf club, not far from here, the president is hosting about a dozen conservatives who are House members for dinner. Tom?
All right, Kelly O'Donnell leading us off tonight. Kelly, thank you. With that new reporting, I want to bring in our justice correspondent, Ken Delaney. And Ken, we can't lose the magnitude of this moment. Walk our viewers through how unprecedented a move this was by the Justice Department.
This appears to be a first, Tom. Legal experts are unaware of any other time in history when a former president's house was searched by law enforcement agents. To get the warrant, the FBI had to convince a federal judge there was evidence of a crime inside Trump's Florida residence. But even before that, Justice Department officials had to make the decision that such a controversial move was the best way to obtain what they were looking for. Well, the DOJ is not commenting. It's all but certain this search would have been approved by the Attorney General himself, who decided that simply asking for the documents or demanding them with a subpoena wasn't going to work. Tom?
And Ken, because the home of a former president was searched, the big question tonight is, does this mean Trump is likely to be charged?
Not necessarily. It's possible this was a case of the government wanting its documents back. That said, government officials have gone to prison in the past for taking classified documents home, Tom. It's also possible that this is about a lot more than documents. Trump said he did nothing wrong and is calling the search prosecutorial misconduct. Tom?
All right, Ken Delaney for us tonight. Ken, we thank you. The political fallout from the FBI search of Mar-a-Lago was immediate, with the midterm elections in less than 3 months and former President Trump weighing another White House run. Here's Von Hilliard.
The FBI search warrant is more than part of an investigation into a former president, but also a possible future one.
Now we may have to do it again. We may have to do it again.
Trump this weekend flirting again with the 2024 bid. And today, according to allies, only more inclined.
I talked to the president just about an hour ago. The one thing I can tell you is that I believed he was going to run before. I'm stronger in my belief now.
But the next election up is the midterms, and the Republican strategy is clear. Stick by Trump, question the Department of Justice.
It's like what we thought about the Gestapo, people like that, that they just go after people.
If Republicans win back the House in November, the next likely speaker, Kevin McCarthy, tweeted his plan for the DOJ. Quote, "We will conduct immediate oversight of this department. Attorney General Garland, preserve your documents and clear your calendar." Even potential 2024 presidential rivals to Trump flocking to his defense. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis calling the FBI search the weaponization of federal agencies. Former Vice President Mike Pence demanding the Attorney General give a full accounting to the American people as to why this action was taken. A stark contrast to Republican reaction, including Donald Trump's to the FBI's investigation into Hillary Clinton during the 2016 presidential campaign. The FBI examined her use of a private email server and the extent to which classified material may have been unsecure on it. The FBI search of Trump's Mar-a-Lago property came just 3 months before this year's midterms. Primary season underway now, with a vote in Wisconsin tonight. Democrats today tried to stay focused on the passage of legislation.
To create good jobs, empower workers, grow the economy.
Political wins ahead of November's midterms, trying not to be overshadowed by Trump's legal battles.
A source close to former President Trump who spoke with him this afternoon tells me that Trump is very happy with the response within the Republican Party over the last 24 hours, noting that most have come to his defense. Trump is known for demanding loyalty and has been taking notes on who has been out front and vocal in support of him. Tom?
Okay, Von Hilliard for us tonight. Von, we thank you for that. We're also following some other breaking news, this time out of New Mexico. Authorities there detaining a suspect tonight in the killing of those four Muslim men in Albuquerque we told you about last night. Guad Venegas is there with the late details.
Tonight, police say they've arrested 51-year-old Muhammad Syed, identified as the primary suspect in the recent killings of four Muslim men in Albuquerque.
A tip from the community is what helped us lead us to this subject and what helped us eventually find the car that we put out just 2 days ago.
Authorities said an interpersonal conflict may have led to the shootings. Syed is being charged with two homicides, the killings of Aftab Hussein and Muhammad Afzal Hussein.
We knew Albuquerque would step up and somebody would find and identify that vehicle for us, which is exactly what happened.
The four killings taking place on different evenings in this section of the city, three of them in the last 2 weeks. On Sunday, authorities released a photo of the suspect's car, pleading for the public's help and adding a $20,000 reward for information. Today's news, little comfort for Sharif Hadi, the brother of victim Mohammed Sayyir Ahmadi.
Everybody's coming to me and they're crying for him. If you lost somebody, you never get it back.
The latest victim, 25-year-old Naeem Hussein, who was found dead Friday night, just hours after attending the funerals of two of the other murder victims, Muhammad Asfal Hussein and Aftab Hussein, all three originally from Pakistan.
The chief of police here says the suspect is originally from Afghanistan and came to the United States several years ago. He added he has misdemeanors on his record for domestic violence and also informed that they are working on finding possible motives for the actions. Tom?
Guad Venegas, with those new developments tonight, Guad, we thank you for that. We want to head overseas now to Ukraine, where a nuclear power plant under Russian occupation is raising alarms worldwide. Shelling there has UN inspectors demanding access, one calling it completely out of control. Morgan Chesky and his team are near that plant tonight. Morgan, how dangerous is the situation there?
Tom, it's dangerous. UN officials say that right now this plant, as it's operating, is breaking every rule when it comes to nuclear safety. We are upriver and upwind of this plant, where tonight the Russian military is not budging and allowing access to inspectors to see the damage there. Now, we know about 11,000 Ukrainians have been there working under Russian control since March, and explosions in recent days forced one of those reactors to shut down. Very troubling is the fact that units that detect radiation levels have been damaged by that series of blasts. And here in Zaporizhia, worst case scenarios already being discussed as we hear air raid sirens tonight. The mayor of a town that borders that plant tells me, should a worst case scenario happen and a meltdown take place, his community would cease to exist. Tom?
All right, Morgan Chesky, you and your team stay safe tonight. Morgan, in 60 seconds, our exclusive inside the U.S. Space Command and why the military is concerned about a Russian satellite that just launched and is getting too close for comfort to an American one. That's coming up next.
This podcast is brought to you by Americans United for Separation of Church and State. For more than 75 years, Americans United has defended your freedom to live as yourself and believe as you choose, so long as you don't harm others. Core freedoms like abortion rights, marriage equality, public education, and even democracy itself rest upon the wall of separation between church and state. White Christian nationalists are attacking these freedoms, seeking to force us all to live by their narrow beliefs. Americans United is fighting back. Freedom without favor and equality without exception. Learn more about AU's work at au.org/NBC.
He would lie his way into their dreams.
He was looking for James Bond girls.
How fun would that be to be a Bond girl?
Then twist them into a nightmare.
This guy has done this before. He'll do it again.
Until a group of women banded together to put him behind bars and keep him there.
You have to participate fiercely, fiercely in what happens next.
I'm Keith Morrison, and this is Murder in the Hollywood Hills, an all-new podcast from Dateline.
All episodes of Murder in the Hollywood Hills are available now. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or DatelinePremium.com.
All right, we are back now with an NBC News exclusive. The first cameras ever allowed inside U.S. Space Command. And NBC News has learned top generals are very concerned about a new spy satellite Russia just put into orbit. Here's Tom Costello.
Zero, ignition, liftoff of L-87. Go Falcon, go, go.
February 2nd in California, SpaceX launched a classified government satellite into orbit, NROL-87.
Stage separation confirmed.
Believed to be a top-secret, state-of-the-art spy satellite that the Pentagon says will support its overhead reconnaissance mission. also watching that launch, Moscow. And just last week, Russia launched its own spy satellite, Cosmo 2558, placing it in the same orbit and just beneath the U.S. satellite.
That's really irresponsible behavior.
In an exclusive interview with NBC News, Space Command four-star General James Dickinson says Russia may be trying to get an up-close look at U.S. spy capabilities.
We see that it's in a similar orbit to one of our high-value assets for the U.S. government. And so we'll continue, like we always do, to continue to update that and track that.
This is the U.S. SpaceCom Jack with an Operation Olympic Defender Conference. All conferees respond when pulled.
Last week, our cameras were the first ever allowed inside the Space Command Joint Operations Center in Colorado Springs.
It's at the zenith, the very top of our space operations centers within the Department of Defense,
where the U.S. watches and tracks every missile and rocket launch anywhere in the world. From the war in Ukraine to Chinese military exercises off Taiwan to that Russian satellite launch.
How quickly do they learn that something has launched somewhere in the world?
We have some really good space capabilities today that will tell us almost immediately if there's been a launch.
Longitude 80 degrees, 36 minutes west.
This is the newest infrared satellite used to detect the heat signatures from any missile or rocket launch anywhere in the world. This is half scale. The real satellite is about the size of a school bus.
Russia has a similar capability with its own satellites.
International satellite trackers say it's no coincidence that Russia launched its rocket at the very moment the U.S. spy satellite passed over the Russian launch site.
There is a part of the current new Cold War is also going on in space. So it's basically part of this cat and mouse game that's going on in space.
In a show of force last November, Russia blew up one of its own orbiting satellites.
And we continue today to track almost 1,500 pieces of debris from that incident and that test event that they did.
A new Cold War moving from the ground to space. Tom Costello, NBC News, Colorado Springs.
All right, coming up next, keeping kids safe online. The new Snapchat tools for parents. Do they go far enough? Welcome back. Snapchat unveiled its first parental controls today to monitor their teens. It comes as some social media companies have fallen under scrutiny because drug dealers are using the platforms to sell to young people. We get more now from Kate Snow.
For the first time, Snapchat is giving parents insight into all that time their teenagers spend on the app, rolling out a new tool called Family Center. Parents and teens between 13 and 18 have to opt in. Then parents can see who the teen has communicated with, but not what they're saying or posting.
What we're really trying to do with Family Center is to offer parents insight into their teens' online behavior, to foster conversations, to develop trust between parents and their teens.
How likely do you think it is that most teens will be willing to opt in?
Even the question of joining Family Center will be an opportunity for a parent and a teen to talk about Snapchat, online safety, and what it means to connect with people online.
Snapchat has existed for a decade and says it's been developing these new tools for more than a year. The company hopes Family Center will help parents with many safety issues, including one we've reported on extensively, drug dealers using social media to sell pills that often contain deadly fentanyl.
This is a great start. I mean, our main goal is that this doesn't happen to any other family.
Michelle and Zeke Mather lost their 18-year-old son, Max, in March 2021, just before he would have graduated from high school.
Max was just a wonderful, kind, beautiful boy.
He had a lot of friends.
Authorities say Max bought a pill through a dealer he communicated with on Snapchat.
You think you would have used a tool like this if it had existed when Max was...
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
You wish they'd done it sooner?
I do. Yeah, I do. Especially when Max was younger, we would have probably been more involved. But with Snapchat, there just wasn't a whole lot you could do.
I can't help but think that this is all too late for you.
Yeah,
it is.
It is.
It is. It is.
However, if it could help one other family, that's our concern right now.
Snapchat says if they find someone dealing drugs, they're kicked off the platform. And when law enforcement reaches out, Snapchat cooperates fully. In the new Family Center, parents can report any account they find concerning, including a suspected drug dealer.
I'm grateful that you're here talking to me today so that parents can can learn about this tool and can use it, and so that we can prevent future online tragedies.
A goal shared by every parent. Kate Snow, NBC News, New York.
That's Nightly News for this Tuesday. Thank you so much for watching. I'm Tom Yamas. Have a great night.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Bush Hager from Today with Hoda and Jenna and the Read with Jenna Book Club. There's nothing I love more than sharing my favorite reads with all of you, except maybe talking to the exceptional authors behind these stories. And that's what I'll be doing on my podcast, Read with Jenna. I'll be introducing you to some of my favorite writers. These conversations will leave you feeling inspired and entertained.
To start listening, just search Read with Jenna wherever you get your podcasts.